when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you people out there in Blood River Radio listening audience. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. My God, we have a special show for you tonight. I guarantee you, I'm so emotional tonight. I've got chills just running up and down my spine because of the great guests we have on tonight. We have one heck of a guest on tonight, and we'll introduce that young lady in just a moment. But people, all you people listening to Blood River Radio, you know the drill here. We always open up with a prayer. But tonight, instead of a prayer, we're going to open up with two psalms. The first is "The Lord is My Shepherd," one of my favorite. Applies especially applicable to these days. So if you would, people, please pay attention, bow your head, whatever. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Lord, give me 1 second. I've got to pull up another prayer. People, after I read this to you, I'll tell you what it is. "My brothers and fellow citizens, here we stand in the presence of the holy God, creator of heaven and earth, to make a vow unto him, that if his protection shall be with us, he give our enemy into our hands so that we might be victorious over him, that this day and date every year shall be spent as a memorial and a day of thanksgiving, just as a Sabbath is spent, and that shall erect a temple to his honor wherever it be pleasing to him, and that we shall also instruct our children that they must also share in it, as well as for our generations yet to come, because the honor of his name shall thereby be glorified, and the glory and honor of victory shall be given him." My friends, my countrymen, that is the vow of the Boer Trekkers, December the 9th, 1838, at the Battle of the Blood River, the day before the Battle of Blood River. It was led by a Cyril Gillers. And he did that, as you see in the prayer, in return for God's help in obtaining victory. And the Boer Trekkers promised to build a church and forever honor God that day as a holy day of God. And their descendants, some people call it the Day of the Vow, some call it the Day of the Covenant. We'll get our little guest to explain that in just a minute. Before we go to our precious little guest, I've got to go to one other thing. I would like to thank our donor. Without donors, we could not keep carry on this radio show. Donors are not they're not just important. They're absolutely indispensable because we cannot keep this show going without donors. We have a precious lady this week. She sent us a nice little check. She supports us emotionally, spiritually. She's one of our main cheerleaders, and she's also helped us financially. It's dear, sweet, one of my little sisters, Roseanne's out of Florida. Thank you so much, Roseanne, and I hope you're listening to this show tonight. I really do. Last week, people, as you know, we had the one and only General Nick Glastavicone, and we had my brother. He's my fellow soldier brother, combat soldier. We had also my fellow combat soldier, Marine Gene Andrews, and we had one heck of a show tonight without man, I'm so excited. Tonight we have a little guest on. Her name is Miss Cornelia. Get this. Her last name is Miller. It's the same as mine. And without me muddling up the stream anymore, I'm going to invite her in. How are you doing tonight, Miss Cornelia?
Hi, I'm very well. Thank you. And you?
I could not be better. I've been looking forward to this ever since I talked to Simon a couple of days ago, ever since I've talked to you a couple of times. If you will, Miss Cornelia, I would call you sweet baby girl like Papaw's girl. That's what I call all the kids. If you will, tell the audience a little bit. Tell them your age. Tell them about your family. Tell them where you're from, where you live. All that, I guess the technologically we would say that's biological, you know, biographical information. So if you will, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So, my name is Cornelia and I'm 21 years old. I live in South Africa, and South Africa has 9 provinces, and I originally come from the Free State, which is a really, like the state of freedom. Like it has amazing history, as well as Gauteng and Limpopo and basically the whole country. But I come from a farm, and at the moment I live in the Big Karoo, which is very dry, and it's in the more northern part of South Africa. And I am the fourth daughter of 9 children. We are 8 girls and 1 boy. And so he's truly spoiled with all the love we give him. And we've been taught since we were young about the vowels, because I'm 100% Afrikaans. And my family originates from Germany and Belgium and Holland, just like the whole South African and the Afrikaans Boer community originates from Europe, of course. So from a young age, we were taught, you know, to love our people, to love our nation, to love our God and our country, and to keep our vows. And it was really beautiful that Sir Eddie read the vow just before he put me on. So it's really, really special. You know, it was quite peculiar hearing it in English, because I've never heard it in English. We only learn it in Afrikaans. But it was really special to hear that as well. And yes, I really love my culture, and I absolutely advocate for the preservation of it. And I love to share my culture and our history with other people as well.
That is a great introduction. You know, Miss Cornelia, dear Miss Cornelia, I have nothing but high praises. My brother in arms, Simon Roach, I've heard his name pronounced 3 to 4 different times. I just always call him Roach. But the people on the radio show here, they've probably heard me say it 100 times, but I'll probably say it another 100 times. Back in August of 2017, the God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, the God of all things were made and all things that are seen and unseen, he blessed me by letting me ride to Charlottesville, Virginia, four precious people picked me up in Cookeville, Tennessee, on the 11th of August. We rode in an SUV. They were Rich Hamblin, Gene Andrews, Matt Goodman, Simon Roach, and yours truly. We rode to Charlottesville. We had no idea what we were getting into, but that's the way I met Simon Roach. And Simon Roach took my photograph, the photograph that's on our webpage here with Blood River Radio. Simon took that photograph in the infamous garage there where we parked in Charlottesville right before we went into the Battle of Charlottesville. And that, as long as I'm alive and as long as we have Blood River, that photograph will be pasted on our website. But Simon and I had instantly bonded, as to the other guys who were there in the SUV going up there and back. And so Simon and I keep in touch on a regular routine basis. And I keep in touch with him through one of our brothers, Rich. He feeds me information from things that he's found out. He's more tech savvy than I am. But Simon, that's my rabbit trail of telling you how I met you. Simon called me and told me that you had recently joined with Southlanders. If the people out there that are unfamiliar with the Southlanders, and I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, tell them a little bit about how such a young, smart, a mere child as yourself, what drew you to this organization? And Simon said that you were smart as a whip, tough. He told me that we had to get you on the radio, and I'm so glad he did. So tell us a little bit about what drew you to that organization, and why did you go there, Miss Cordelia?
Okay, so first, the Cycloners is an emergency plan initiative, and it's literally the only one in its sort in South Africa, if not Africa. And what drew me is truly that when you just before you leave school and you finish school, from a young age, you really start seeing the institutionalized laws and programs that literally go against your race. It is unfortunately race-based. For example, in South Africa, we are 8% of the population, so they expect us to only be 8% of the workforce. And you get another couple of laws like that one, similar to that, that discriminate against you. And from a young age, you always, you see this and you realize that this is quite problematic.
Ms. Cordelia, we have to go to a quick break. You may or may not be able to hear the music, but we have to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. And don't lose your place. Don't lose your thought. Okay. People, hang on to your seats. We'll be right back with Ms. Cornelia Miller from South Africa. Hang on to your seats.
Our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Well, people, you're right back. You're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and without further ado, we're going to go back to Miss 21-year-old Miss Cornelia Miller calling in from South Africa. Go right back to you, Miss Cornelia. I hope you didn't lose your place. And before I forget, when you get through telling us why, answering the question I just asked you, let's not forget to give a brief, if just a minute or so, history of the Battle of Blood River. You can either do it or I can do it, whichever one you want to do. But anyway, go ahead. Don't let me forget that because I'm old and I forget stuff. So if you will, Miss Cornelia, go ahead and continue on, dear.
Okay. So as I was saying, when I was still at school, when I was just started high school, I thought, you know, I always have this eagerness to do something to help the Boer people, specifically our nation and our culture, and I find it very beautiful. And it's like you started realizing that these political parties and these groups are not doing anything for your culture or your nation. They're especially oppressing it and, you know, systematically removing it. Our monuments are being removed. Our language, Afrikaans, is being removed from schools. And that's really, it's something that you realize very early on, and that you have to make a decision if you're going to, you know, be a part of the fight against it and to not be a part of it. So I really decided from when I was still in school, I really want to do something to help the Boer. So that was my thought. And then I started thinking about how can you possibly do this? You know, it's so difficult to make a difference if you're a minority. And then I started looking at different groups, and I was really attracted to the Sightliners because I was, well, I knew them already, but I also completely understood the way that they debated the current circumstances in South Africa, and they were very realistic. A lot of people aren't realistic. A lot of people are very afraid to say, you know what, this is going to lead to a civil war. This is what we should do to prepare for that. There's not a lot of people that are that realistic because they quickly connected to something negative. But I think we should, in today's time, in today's modern time, be very realistic about it, because that's the only way that we're actually going to bring change. And so I really decided that, you know, age has nothing to do with it. If you have a passion and if you truly want to make a difference, then you should, you know, start and you should truly be a part of it. And even though, you know, you're still young, I'm still young, and there's not a lot of people yet, if only you could inspire a lot of other people, other Afrikaners and other people to support, then together, no matter how small or how big, we will be able to make a difference. And we will be, you know, we will be able to bring a change. And there's something that my uncle always used to say. So my uncle, he passed away when he was only 19 years old. And it was the Battle of Savatthi in the Bush War, which started from 1966 and lasted to 1989. And he passed away when he was 19 because he was in the 3-2 battalion. And he gave his life for the other soldiers. And he always had this saying that he said, if not us, who will? And that is something that really always stayed in my mind. If you don't and you see all of this, why aren't you doing anything? And so it's truly in my heart to do something. And it's really interesting because we as Boer have a history of being only a small group. For example, in 1937, which was, no, 1836, which was 2 years before Blood River, there was the Battle of Vechel, and there was 33 men and 7 boys and 160 women and, you know, children. And they wanted, and this battle was between the Matabeles and the Boere. And there was more than 4,000, between 4,000 and 6,000 Matabeles. And they fought this war against each other. And only 2 Boers, Voortrekkers, passed away. And more than 400 Matabeles were killed during this battle. So we have a history of being a very small amount of people. And but also, it's only through grace. We should never forget that. But yes, so we have a history of being a very, very small amount of a very small group. Yes. So yes, that's what I can summarize to why I started this.
You've blown me away, young lady. You certainly have. My God, I wish we had more people like you. I wish we had more people, older people like you. Before I ask you a question or make a comment, do you run into any jealousy, any envy, any roadblocks put in your path by older, hard-headed, stubborn, foolish old people?
So I'm still very young.
Do they try to discourage you?
No. So, yes, actually I do. But it's usually from younger ladies, you know, just a bit older than me. And usually, but I don't really listen to it. I think I'm very thankful that in a certain sense, I'm a bit too naive to realize when someone's jealous or envious. And I have the ability to quickly forget about things like that. So I'm very thankful for that ability, because I think it spares a person from a lot of things.
That's a great answer. It certainly is. You know, you named a key word. You named grace. And, you know, we're the faithful are supposed to live. We're supposed to live by faith. We're saved by grace through faith alone. But, you know, and the point I'm trying to make is, I'll ask you if you think, okay, before I go further, before I ask you this question about grace, quickly, would you like to summarize what happened at the Battle of Blood River? Would you like to do that,
yes,
or would you like me to do it? You go ahead, because I'm sure you don't. Go ahead.
Yes, so pardon me if I get a bit quiet, because I have to translate in my brain, but I'll start. So there happened a great track from 1834, and the Voortrekkers moved from the Cape, and it was basically for independence and for freedom for their religion and from not having the oppression of the British colony. And in 1838, the beginning of the year, the Voortrekkers sent a group of men that went to the Zulu tribe in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, which at that time it was just Natal. And they went to the Zulu king. His name was Dingaan. And they said to him, listen, we want to buy land, or we want to trade land. We want to give you something, or we want to do something so that we can have some of the land in the nearby area. And the Zulu king, Dingaan, agreed. And he said, you know what? One of my enemies stole some of my cattle. Why don't you go and you bring my cattle back to me, and then we will talk about me giving or me enabling you to have some of the land. And the man that went was Pietretief, and he went with a lot of his men, and he got the cattle back, and he brought them back to Dingaan. And Dingaan said, well, Pietretief, thank you very much. It's agreed. We will give you some of the land. You are allowed to come and live and farm. And he signed a contract or a paper. In Afrikaans, we call it a traktaat. I'm not sure what you call it in English, but it was a paper that had this agreement on. But Dingaan couldn't write, so he just made a cross. And Pietretief folded the paper and he put it in his bag. And then Dingaan said, but wait, why don't you and your 60 men come for a feast tonight, and we will throw a big feast for you to say thank you for bringing the cattle back? And Pietretief said, yes, that sounds very understandable. We will come. And they came later the day, and Dingaan said, go into this. It was a round circle, but it was built. It was closed. And he said, well, go in, but leave your weapons outside. And Pietretief and his 60 men went in, and the Zulus started dancing for them. But in the ground, they buried their axes and their spears. They buried their spears and their, like these wooden sticks.
Ms. Cornelia, we have to go to another quick break. We got to go to a quick break, Miss Cornelia. When we come back, I want you to finish that story. We have a special treat for you. A person you know is going to call in. Hold on your hat, people. We'll be right back. We're into the third break.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Los Angeles County health officials are issuing new safer at home orders that go into effect on Monday. Under the new order, residents are being asked to stay home as much as possible and wear a face covering outside. Public and private gatherings with anyone outside one's households are prohibited. Health officials remain concerned about a spike after Thanksgiving. People taking to the streets in Los Angeles to protest the new orders. Protests also taking place in London, where strict lockdown orders are in effect. At least 60 people have been arrested. And a celebration of life held for former New York City Mayor David Dinkins on Saturday. Dinkins recently passed away at the age of 93. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyn for Cornerstone Asset Metals. In the last 6 months, trillions of dollars have been printed out of thin air, drastically diluting your buying power and future standard of living. Today, you have only one choice. Protect and preserve your future savings and standard of living. Protect your retirement. Protect your children's future. How do you do that? With precious metals. Back in 1970, a paper dollar and a silver dollar were equal in value. Today, your paper dollar buys less than half a gallon of gas, while a silver dollar buys over 10 gallons. More proof positive that gold and silver protect your wealth and future buying power. Take advantage today. Roll over a portion of your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA. Only for Wade Allyn listeners, Cornerstone will waive all transfer costs up to $1,000 value. So you'll open a precious metals retirement account for no cost. No one else in America is offering this deal. Don't delay. Protect your wealth now. To register for more information, call 888-8-GOLD-NOW. 888-8-GOLD-NOW or go to cornerstoneassetmetals.com.
There are more options on the table when it comes to federal executions. From the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau, here's Jeremy Scott.
An amendment published Friday in the Federal Register changes the protocols on executions, allowing the U.S. government to do so by not only lethal injection, but, quote, any other manner prescribed by the law of the state in which the sentence was imposed. Some states do allow other forms of the death penalty, including firing squad, electrocution, and inhaling nitrogen gas. Attorney General William Barr resumed federal executions this year after 17 years. There are five executions scheduled in President Trump's final days in office. The Justice Department has put to death more people this year than the past 50. From the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
President Trump set the campaign Saturday night for Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. The president will be holding one of his rallies at an airport hangar. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Thank you. People, we're right back. It is November the 28th, the year of our Lord and Savior 2020, later to our Satan's year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to go right back to Miss Cornelia Miller. Calling in from South Africa, in case you just tuned in, and she's going to finish telling us the history of the Battle of Blood River and December of 1838. Go ahead, Miss Cornelia. I'm sorry that break interrupted you. But go ahead.
No, that's all right. And so what happened after, so they started this feast and this dance for Pieter Retief and his men. And at a moment, Dengon yelled, "Kill the white man," and they, because they danced, they moved the ground with their feet to pick up their spears and their wooden sticks, and they killed all 60 men, but they held Pieter Retief, they kept him alive so he could see how they killed each and every last one of his people, and also his son, his young son actually was with him. And he had to watch how each of his men were murdered, and then they killed him as well. But those days, the other voortrekkers, they all moved in different groups. We call them large. And each one had a separate leader, or two belonged to one leader, and then they were separated. And they did not know that Pieter Retief and the men were killed. And that is when there happened after that, another, you know, a lot of other attacks happened, like the attack of Blaukrans River, and it is where suddenly during the night the Zulus attacked this Voortrekker group and killed most of the people. And this kept on happening until there was very little left. And so some of the leaders, also one of the leaders passed away, and the other one, Hendrik Boskieter, decided to move more north rather than east, which is Natal was more east in South Africa, and he moved with his group northern, in the northern region. And the leader of the current group that was still near Natal, near the Drakensberge, unfortunately passed away due to an illness. So they sent a letter to the Cape to ask for someone to come and lead them. And that is when Andries Pretorius came. And he was the one that led them in the Battle of Blood River. And for 7 days, each day, they made this vow, or they read the vow, and they prayed, and they praised the Lord. And on the seventh day, they had the Battle of Blood River, where there were about over the 400 Voortrekkers, led by Andries Pretorius, and there were a lot of Zulus. There's a lot of debate about how much specifically. More liberal groups will always debate that it was a lot less, and always differ from the history books, but it was an absolutely amazing and beautiful historical day for us. And until today, each of our generations, and we as well, keep the day on the 16th of December. We thank the Lord that we were spared and that our nation could have, you know, came out of that. So that is a very beautiful, beautiful history and is part of each South African's life.
It could be no more beautiful. And before we bring... We have a treat for you tonight. We have a friend of yours that's going to be calling in talking to you tonight. But before we bring her on, I'd like to say you mentioned 7 days. That's immediately struck out into my heart, as I believe the ancient Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was 7 days. I have to look that up. But you also mentioned grace, that the battles was won by grace. And I'd like to reiterate that again. You had grace at the Battle of Blood River. You had grace at the battle, this other battle that you mentioned, when there was, I think you said 1836, when there was 33 men, 7 boys, and 160 women and children. Grace. I tell you what, Miss Cornelia, this is just a little rabbit trail I'm going to hit you with, but we have to have grace here in the United States as well as you do there in South Africa. Y'all in South Africa are on, and I'm going to ask you in a few minutes how dark it looks right now. But here in the United States, the present, not just the future, but the presence for us white people in the United States is very, very dark. And I would like to remind our audience that our people are listening, I don't care how desperate it gets, all we have to do is look what happened in South Africa and where and why the day of the vow came about, how these people were saved. We too can be saved, not just in South Africa. We can be saved here in the United States if we will have faith, if we will turn away from our sin, if we'll seek God's face, repent, he can save us. But I'm telling you what, if he'll save us through grace. We can't possibly defeat the might of the enemy that faces us. And if Jeanette is there, I don't know, we'll bring Jeanette on anytime if she's there. Okay, so I thought she was... Well, we have a special treat for both of you ladies. Miss Janice,
here.
How are you doing? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Miss Janice.
I'm doing fine.
I know you're excited. I'm so excited I'm tripping over myself and screwing. But go ahead. Tell Miss Cornelia who you are in case she hadn't already figured it out.
Cornelia, we met the first time we came to South Africa. My name is Janice Hamblin. And
yes.
I met you in Orania at the restaurant and sat and chatted with you and one of your girlfriends until it was time for me to go order my food. So,
yes. I remember. I immediately remembered when you said I met you, and I thought, oh, I remember.
Yes. And I wanted to let you know that we saw your interview with Simon. It was so exciting to see you on there with him and participating. So that was really neat. And then you had one with somebody in Holland, but it was all in either Dutch or Afrikaans. And so I couldn't listen to it because I couldn't have understood a thing of it. But what I also wanted to say to do with what you were just getting off of, the first thing that our first trip to South Africa was to go to the Day of the Vow. So it was, you know, we thought that it was a very important day to go and see what the Afrikaners and the Boer were all about. And we met a lot of other people and have stayed friends with them via, you know, the internet and stuff. And so it was an exciting day to sit there, and couldn't understand anything there either because it was all in Afrikaans. But you could, as an outsider, I could feel what it was about. So it was exciting.
Well, it's really, really, really great to hear about, to hear from you. I'm really excited that you are also on. And no, I remember you very, very well. And it's an honor for us to be able to share such a day, because it's not just something that you keep with your people. It's something that needs to be shared to show the absolute grace that we've received. And like Sir Eddie said, that it's something that Americans also need to believe and see, that it's alone through grace. And was at that time, it was really, really nice to meet you. And it was so short. I was really, it was sad that it had to end so quickly.
I think you had to get back. It was on the weekend, and you had to get back to work at that time. And that's why I couldn't visit any longer. Because I think at that time you were at New Hope working, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I was still on school, but I was still at school, but I did have a couple of things to do, yes.
I did want to let you know that you had, at that meeting we had, you had told me to go see the concentration camp up in New Hope, and we didn't make it the first trip. But when we were back there a little over a year ago, we did go to that, and it was very good. And I'm glad that you had suggested it. It was very moving to see that people bought a farm, and this is what they found on it. I mean, all the stuff they had, it was really, really neat.
I'm really glad that you...
Go ahead.
I'm really glad that you were able to go to the concentration camp. It is something that is starting to become very rare in South Africa because they're starting to close the concentration camps, or they're trying to remove it, as well as our monuments, unfortunately. So it was it's really amazing that that concentration camp is still so preserved. And as you said, they never expected to find what they found. And it's really, really moving to be there and to see and to really feel the atmosphere.
Miss Cornelia, we have to go to a break. But when we come back, I want you girls to tell the audience all about this concentration camp. People holding your seat, when you come back, we're going to learn together about this concentration camp. Be right back.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people, unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Well, Blood River Radio family, we are going to learn all about this concentration camp in South Africa that these two ladies were talking about. We have Miss Cornelia Miller on calling in from South Africa, and my little sister, Janice Hamblin, calling. So they're going to talk about this concentration camp. Go ahead, Miss Cornelia. What is this concentration camp you're talking about?
So in South Africa, there were two big wars between the Boers and the British. The first Boer War, we call it in South Africa the First Freedom War, we had won, and that was in 1880. And the Second Boer War started in 1899, and Lord Kitchener, who was the field marshal, had come up with this idea because he saw that the Boers have a very different way of fighting than the British do, and they... At the beginning of the war, they did very well, the Boers. They were, constantly winning these battles. And Lord Kitchener saw this as a big problem because how could this amazing army be beaten by such a small, small group of people? And the Boers fight in this way that they have different commandos. They have small groups, and then that is how they attack, and they have... But that's also a very long discussion on its own. So Lord Kitchener saw that the Boer commandos would go to a farm, and the Boer women would prepare food and everything that the Boers needed. And then the Boers would rest, and then they would be able to just go on their way again. So Lord Kitchener came to the decision that he would make these concentration camps, that he would take all the Boer women, the Afrikaans Boer women, and he would take them to these concentration camps where they would be kept until the end of the war. And these concentration camps ended up that they didn't feed the women. It ended up that more than 28,000 women and children died in these camps. And in our family, our great grandfather, actually, he fought in that war when he was 11, 12 years old. So that's something very close to my heart as well. And his mother and his aunt and his little sisters all died in the concentration camp outside of Brandfort, which is a small town in the province of the Free State. And the concentration camp Miss Hamblin is referring to is a concentration camp that was between Hopetown, which is a small town in the Northern Cape, and between Hopetown and Urania. And it's basically this lady, Aunt Rina, she bought this land without knowing that it used to be a concentration camp. And when she bought the land, she started working, and then she started finding these very peculiar items. And then she went a bit of and did a bit of research, and then she realized that this was one of the concentration camps, and she made it a monument. And it's amazing to go there and to hear the stories of what the women went through, because there happened a lot of terrible things in the concentration camps. For example, women and children were given very little food. Most of the people and the women and children that died was because of hunger. And the British also broke glass and put it in their food. And that is also a way that they killed them. So there's a lot of different methods that the British made use of in these concentration camps. And I actually, that's a very beautiful story that I just quickly want to add. In our South African quarter penny, which we used to use in the olden days, you would see a sparrow on the penny. And the story behind this sparrow on the penny is that in these concentration camps, this one woman, Anna Marais, was very sad the evening, and she prayed to the Lord and asked if he would bless her to give words to the women in the camp to make them a bit relieved and to give them hope. And so the next day, when she opened the Bible to read for the women, because I'm very proud to say that our women in South Africa has been very, very extremely honorable and strong women, because they used to still praise and sing psalms and hymns in these concentration camps when they were dying of hunger. But anyway, this woman was sitting with a Bible, and she had to read a piece. And she opened the Bible, and she read Matthew 10, verse 29, which spoke about God's care, even for the smallest of animals, which was the sparrow. And whilst she was reading this, a sparrow came, and he sat on her shoulder. And that is the story. And it absolutely shocked the women, and it gave them hope, because they realized that there's so much more, and that they are still worth something. And that is the reason why we have the little sparrow on one of our pennies. So that is basically what I can summarize the concentration camp as. But there's a lot more to say as well.
Well, we're going to go to Ms. Janice, but I'm going to read this. This is that verse. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? Go ahead, Ms. Janice.
I was going to say, the reason for our second visit to South Africa, besides catching up with all the friends we'd made the first time, was we went to the Boer War Conference in Bloemfontein in October. And so that's another really wonderful museum and tribute to the women and the children. And one thing you didn't point out, that it wasn't just the Boer women and children. They also took any of the black workers, and they did the same thing to them. They put their women and children in camps and let them die too. I mean, it was horrible what they did to them. But that conference was really good. And we got to revisit the Bloemfontein War Museum for the women. And we also got to meet, I think he's the great-grandson of the last Orange State, Free State president. And that was kind of, that was really kind of neat. I've never met anybody related to any of our presidents, but I met somebody related to one of y'all's in history.
Yes. So that sounds so amazing.
But the one in Bloemfontein also, because I think that was done nationally, was it not? It was all set up, money gathered, and the whole thing built by all of you in Bloemfontein. If somebody wanted a one-stop all about the Boer War, the Second Boer War, that would be the place to go. Yeah, I mean, it has everything in it.
Mm. No, that's true.
Oh.
That is true.
But we did enjoy both of them. It was. Go ahead, Eddie.
Oh no, you go ahead. You go ahead, Mr. Nace.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, I know Rich told me something. He sent me a photograph, I believe. By the way, people, the Rich I'm referring to is Miss Janice's husband. They both went together as a couple to South Africa twice. Rich was telling me something about, it was a photograph, a statue of this old, worn-out soldier, you know, half-starved to death on an old, worn-out horse. Was it the Bitter Ender. Go ahead. Tell us a little story about that.
Tell us a little bit about that, Miss Janice.
Go ahead. You go ahead and tell Janice.
And she can fill in anything I leave out. Basically, it was the Bitter Ender was what the men and their horses looked like when they got done, because they kept fighting to the very, very end. And if my memory serves me, they probably would have kept on fighting if the British had not put their wives and children in concentration camps and were letting them drop like flies. But they fought, and they were very tired and redone. I am. So, but Cornelia, can you add anything to that story?
I'm thinking about that statue at the moment. Yes, it is true. But it's actually very interesting because the South African women, or the Boer women, specifically Christian de Wet, his wife was Cornelia de Wet. And she, when they started speaking about surrendering to the British, the women in the camp were very upset because they said, then all of this was for nothing. And that is also when it comes to Bitter Einde, because it's until the bitter end. And it's very interesting because when the Boers, the Voortrekkers, moved with a big track out of the Cape, the women, after they had all of these attacks and many of the people they loved died, the men also said, you know what, we should think about going back. And the women said, we will rather walk barefoot these mountains deeper into Africa, then go back to the Cape and live under the British. So it's really, really beautiful. I'm really enjoying hearing about it and listening to you all. So it's really nice.
Well, I'll tell you, Miss Cornelia, Miss Janice, we're about to run out of time, but Miss Cornelia,
and I think,
please stay on for the second hour.
Miss Janice, you're very welcome to finish with her, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for inviting me, Eddie. And it was nice.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime.
And hopefully we'll get to see you soon, Cornelia.
Yes, it would be lovely to see you again.
We can't wait to come back and visit.
But this time when you come, we should go and visit the Paardekraal Monument.
Okay. We'll keep that in mind when we get there. We will look you up and go. And tell your family that we all said hello, okay?
I will. And please tell everyone I send my regards.
All right. I will talk with you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye, Janice, and thank you for coming on.
You're welcome, Eddie. Thanks for asking me. Bye.
Anytime. Miss Cornelia, how was that for a surprise?
It was a lovely surprise.
You know, I didn't know for sure. By the way, we'll be running out of time any second. I want you to hold on, if you will. We'll be going into our second hour any minute. There will be a longer break, so you'll have time to go get coffee, anything you want. And we'll be back in probably about 8 minutes, Miss Cornelia. So we'll see you in just a few minutes. People, hold on to your seat. We're going to the second hour of Blood River Radio, and we have a real honest-to-goodness air of Blood River, the Battle of Blood River. Hang on. We'll be right back in a few minutes.